The music
in life, one has to face a huge
the music you're hearing is from
nauseating facts,
one of my favorite musicals, Aida. Not the opera Aida, but the musical. And this is a song from Amneris, the daughter of Pharaoh, who is struggling with life and coming to the reality. Conversation, she's a doubter.
Manners, charms.
No, nothing to do with that.
So forget
about the inner, she says, and embrace the outer. So in the spirit of Amneris, we're going to forget the inner for a moment, and I am going to embrace the outer while you listen to her sing.
Checked with some glamour, guaranteeing every fiber of my being.
Need my glasses.
Is displayed to quite remarkable effect. From your
listen to her words.
By a trousseau, to your deathbed, your own view. So never compromise, except no substitute.
Just listen. Collar's coming out because I don't have my shirt. Oh, well. All right, so Amneris, and I love these words. We'll just take the collar out for a minute. It'll do it for me. So she says, forget the inner me. Observe the outer. I am what I wear and how I dress. Now, we all may think, oh, Amneris, how utterly vain can you be? But the truth of the matter is, most all of us were paying attention to our outer appearance this morning before we came to church this morning and what we do almost every day. And so I decided, well, let's pay attention to my outer appearance and what we have here. And so I began to put together the things that will tell you something about me because our outer appearance tells us something about us. So I went first and I put on my cross. Now, for many folks, a cross is, in fact, sort of a tribal affiliation. It's a way of saying, look at, this is who I am a part of. This is my community. I am part of that Christian community. And though they may not mean it, it is done in such a way to say, you're not one of us unless you're wearing something like this. Further, I was to put on a clerical shirt, but I lent it to Irene, who was not able to be here this morning. And my clerical collar just doesn't decide to stay. Neil, you don't happen to have one with you, do you? Sorry. But the collar and that clerical shirt are very important for me because they say they're like a uniform that I wear. It's a uniform that says, look at me. I have gone off to study. I have become a person that is not just a Christian, but I am a person, sort of a super Christian, because after all, I am wearing all these things. And here's the truth. When I wear my clerical collar, people talk in more hushed tones around me. They really, I'm not joking. This is true. When they swear around me when I'm wearing my clerical collar, they apologize to me for swearing. They don't apologize to me when I'm in my, board shorts, but they do apologize to me when I'm wearing my clerical collar. And in fact, they then ask me for some rather obscure prayers because I'm wearing that collar. And furthermore, so now we've got the collar on, the cross, well, put on the robe, of course. And the robe, of course, People who are important wear robes. Judges wear robes. Professors used to wear robes. Mark, did you ever wear a robe as a professor? Did you long to wear a robe as a professor? I'm sure you did. People wear robes as robes because it says, look at me. I'm important. The choir used to wear robes. It was a way of us saying, look at the angels that we have in front of us. And so we wear a robe and it makes it important. And then we go ahead and we need to complete the ensemble. And so we put together, that's right, you, ensemble, you don't say the L-E, right? Is that right, Naya? Is that correct? We speak French as well because that shows just how much we know. And so we wear stoles, beautiful stoles. And here I am. And in fact, Mary Reese can tell you that the week before I started here, I had a moment of panic. Because every time that I had preached here as a guest, I had preached just in an aloha shirt. But I didn't know if now that I'm the settled pastor, am I expected to look more like this? And Mary, of course, kindly said, we wouldn't know what to do with you. But here I am, dressed to impress. And here's the reality. It is the exact opposite of what our scriptures are talking about today. The exact opposite. For here is the story of Moses, who the second time he has gone up to Mount Sinai, the first time didn't end so well, goes up to Mount Sinai, talks to God, gets the Ten Commandments, comes down, discovers the people have been panicking while he's been gone. They've melted all their gold jewelry. They've made a golden calf. They're worshiping the golden calf. And Moses gets a little bit ticked off, throws down the tablets. God gets a little bit ticked off and calls them stiff-necked people and all sorts of other things and says, this is it, we're done. Except for God has a change of mind. Invites Moses back up to Mount Sinai. And for 40 days, Moses is up there on Mount Sinai. And for 40 days, he does come up with all sorts of instructions on how things are supposed to look. He gets instructions on the tabernacle. He gets instructions on the ark. He gets instructions on how the priest's clothes are supposed to be. So he gets instructions on how things are supposed to look. And he comes down again, carrying 10 commandments, carrying them, comes down to the people. And it turns out that after you spend 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God, your face is shining in such a way that it is scary. And the people are scared. And so he puts a veil over his face so that people will not be afraid, except for when he is speaking for God. And when he is speaking for God, he takes off that veil. He takes off all the things that would say, oh, dressed to impress, pretty veil, and just is himself right there speaking for God. And Paul, after he gets through with his little diatribe with the Jewish officials, which he always has to have throw in there just a little bit, after he gets through with that, he gets to his point. And his point is that ultimately, we are the presence of Christ that is within, must be shining forth out into this world. That we do not veil ourselves at all, but rather it is the grace of God that lives within us that we allow to come forth. And Paul, all warts and wrinkles that he is, says, here I am, for Christ is in me, and I am in Christ, and I am in him. And says, let forth the grace of God. So I thought, now that we have dressed to impress, let's begin to break it down. So first of all, stoles. I love these stoles that I'm wearing. This stole that I'm holding up right now was given to me on the day in which I was ordained in 1987. It was put together, it was designed by my sister-in-law, Mary. It was sewed, the needlepoint was sewed by my sister-in-law, Joyce. And the whole thing was put together by my mother, Bonnie, right there. And they gave it to me on the day in which I was ordained. This stole was given to me, I believe, on the day in which I was installed as pastor here at Church of the Crossroads. They mean a whole lot to me. They speak to me of family, my blood family, my spiritual family, my community. But here's the truth. The truth is I don't need a stole to tell you of my family because I hope that all that I do is worthy of my family, that the love that my family has given to me and put into me, oh, thank you, my love, that it comes forth. I don't need this stole to be able to tell the world of my faith community, my church community right here at Church of the Crossroads. As filled as it is with butterflies, which one of the things I love about this, the very first sermon I preached with you all was about butterflies, and that you thought to create that is absolutely amazing. But the scriptures say how good it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity with one another and with God. For that should come forth. What should come forth for me, and that story need not be told by a stole, but it need to be told by the very way I am with you all and the very way I am with a community that says, this is, I am part of an ohana, part of a family that has roots that go back hundreds, thousands of years and go this way and that way, for we are all part of that which God has created. And the collar, which unfortunately I can't be wearing, actually, the robe off first because it's really hot. Thank gosh it isn't summer. You know, what makes me important is not the robe that I wear. It's who I am and who I belong to. For if I belong to Christ, can I put it right here, Linda? Thank you so much. For if I belong to Christ, if I belong to God, if I am present to God, the importance that that robe signifies is nothing. Walter Brueggemann said, let me pull out this quote. He said, this is what we are called to be. And no robe makes this truth. It is merely how I shall live. He says, are we prophetic people who tell the truth to a society that lives in illusion, grieves in a society that practices denial, and expresses hope to a society that lives in despair? Do I do that? Do I do that? For that is what is important, not the robe that I wear. That is what is important, to preach prophetically, to live prophetically into a community, this community that we live in, to help with those that are in distress, to help with those that are in denial and hurt and pain. That's what makes me important. Not the robe that I wear. The collar, where did it go? I buried it. Thank goodness. You know, I do have a clerical shirt, and I do wear it periodically. The reason why I lent it to Irene is because Irene, as the chaplain at IHS, the Institute for Human Services, has need at times, walking into a very volatile situation, to be able to walk in to be immediately recognized that she is a person that can speak into that situation. And the collar, the clerical collar, does in fact say that. It does in fact say that. And so, and she has that need probably way more than I do, so I just lent her my shirt and lent her the collar. But the truth of the matter is for Irene, for myself, for any one of us that are speaking into situations where there is pain, where there is hurt, where there is the potential of violence or anything else, it is not the collar ultimately. It is not the collar ultimately as that is going to be the presence of God. It's going to be the presence of God that is within me that is going to speak to that situation. Henry Nouwen said, in a world so torn apart by rivalry and angry and hatred, we have the privileged vocation to be living signs of a love that can bridge all divisions and heal all wounds. That collar may signify that, but if that is not a part and parcel of who I am, I will be seen as a poser immediately wearing that collar. But if I am able to embody that presence of the Christ within me, that presence of love, and the collar merely opens a door for the work that needs to be done. And the cross, indeed, there are those who wear a cross as if it is a tribal affiliation, as if it is a way of saying, this is who my community is, not who your community is. But you know, the reality of the cross is, and I do love the fact that in the Protestant tradition, we have an empty cross. We do not have a cross that you see oftentimes within the Catholic tradition. And this is not in any way a criticism. That it is a different philosophical approach. But we have an empty cross, for he is no longer nailed there. He has risen. And what I love about the shape of our cross is that that shape of the cross is like arms that are outstretched. There are arms that are outstretched in love. They are arms that are outstretched in forgiveness. They are arms that are outstretched in welcome. And so, yes, I am proud and happy to wear a cross, but it is so that I can be one who proclaims the truth of that cross, that says indeed that you are all welcome, that you are all people that have been forgiven, that you are being brought into a place similar as what we did just a month or so ago when we looked at the new covenant that we affirmed. And in one of the bullet points in it, we say, we affirm the many pathways to the divine, seeking to respect and live in harmony with persons of all faiths and spiritualities. For me, the cross signifies not exclusion, but welcome. And frankly, I can welcome folks much better with my arms open wide than just by wearing a cross. I can forgive folks much better with the ability to wrap myself around a person or ask to be forgiven much better than if I just wear that cross. And so, now you have me, the way that you see me most every Sunday. Just like this, slacks, an aloha shirt, usually wearing a cross. And this is a very intentional decision on my part, that I am dressed in a way that I believe is supposed to engender the appearance of professionalism. I want you all to know that your pastor is a professional, that your pastor has gone to school and has studied, has a master's of divinity, has 3 years of theological study, and then some over the last 30-some-odd years of ministry. I want you to know that I am a professional. But here's the reality. I'm proud of the years that I spent in divinity school. I loved the community that I was a part of in divinity school. And I loved the fact that in that community, I learned to hone the skills of the gift of a mind that God has given to me. I learned to be able to use those gifts in the same way that each of us is asked to use the gifts that God has given to us. I learned to study the scriptures, to engage with them. I learned to live in a community of people that were committed to faith. And I learned to be with folks that would affirm my call. Affirm a call that has gone in many different directions over the last 30 years, but ultimately one who is called to teach and one who is called to preach and one who is called to embody as best as possible the presence of God in my life and embody in a community the presence of God in our lives. And so that I value. My profession may well be to be a minister, but my profession, just as each of your professions, is ultimately to be a vehicle for the presence of God. And I don't need a nice aloha shirt, there it is, to be able to do that. In fact, I don't need these slacks either. I had to find a pair of slacks that would fit over a pair of shorts. I know. I don't know why she's nervous. The slacks, the belt, the tucked in. You may not know this. Sunday mornings when we have adult ed, I usually wear my slacks and aloha shirt. I have not tucked in my aloha shirt until I come in here, because that's the last step of becoming professional, is when I tuck in the aloha shirt. We're all a little bit strange. And so what are we left with? We're left with me with this T-shirt. And we would say, make light out of the darkness, which certainly seems to speak to the scriptures that we have. And here's the truth. I have a lot of these T-shirts. I have a lot of these T-shirts, and I use these T-shirts on an every day to put forth a message. I use these T-shirts every day to put forth a message. If I were going to United Methodist Church right now And I wanted to speak about what Liz asked us for prayers for, as they are grappling still with the issue of inclusion of LGBTQ people. I might well just put on this t-shirt that says that love heals, because ultimately that is the message that we need to be hearing. And I would want them to hear that. I look forward to the days when it's just a little bit cold and I can wear this t-shirt that has the words from Micah 6:8, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And I can wear that t-shirt around and people go, I get it. I get it. Or if I'm going to an interfaith gathering, I can wear this t-shirt that says coexist with all of the different symbols of the different faiths. Or if I'm at an event that is the UCC gathering, I can put together this UCC shirt with its new logo on the back that says, to believe is to care is to do. And I can wear that message. Or I can put on this one, and listen, I didn't bring them all, so you're lucky. See the good. See the good. How often in this world do we not do that? How often in this world do we, in fact, not do that? But here's the truth of the matter. Kirsten, would you help me here? Would you hold this down? Thank you. And I promise you, this is as far as we're going. But those t-shirts are ultimately, they're like a tattoo that I can wear. They're like a tattoo that in a world that is filled with pain and filled with anguish, in a world that is so quick to judge, so quick to condemn one another, they are my way of declaring to the world, for whatever it is, that there is another way. But the truth of the matter is, it's not just in a t-shirt that Paul is talking about or Moses is talking about, that we need to be able to proclaim to the world these things. It needs to be within our very presence, because we know that God does not really care about the outer appearance as much as Amneris in Aida cares about the outer appearance. And in fact, here's the wonderful news about the story of Aida. She comes to understand that the most important thing that she can offer is the gift of her heart. It's the most important thing that she can offer. It takes her a whole musical to get there, but she gets there eventually. We know from the prophetic tradition that God is not impressed. God is not impressed with the things that we do that are supposed to make God happy, with the way that we ask. Amos says these words, I, the Lord, not only am not impressed, I hate and despise your religious celebrations and your times of worship. We're hoping that this is not one of those times. I won't accept your offerings or animal sacrifices, not even your very best. No of your noisy songs, that certainly doesn't apply to you all. I won't listen when you play your harps, but when you play the organ, I like that. But let justice and fairness, this is what God says. Forget all of that. Forget everything that we do in here on a Sunday morning. Ultimately, let justice and fairness flow like a river that never runs dry. I don't need a t-shirt to tell you that. I need my very presence. I need your very presence to tell me that. You all may recall that scene from the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar, where Caiaphas is engaged with Jesus as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and the people are chanting, Hosanna, hey, Zanna, 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 hey, right? And Caiaphas says, tell the rabble to be quiet. We anticipate a riot. This motley crowd is much too loud. To which Jesus then replies, why waste your breath moaning at the crowd? Nothing can be done to stop the shouting. If every tongue were stilled, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing. Well, if the rocks and stones can sing, and all we need do is walk outside and see the creation that God has given to us, if the rocks and stones, the mountains and the hills, the seas, the four-footed and the finned, if all of them can sing, so too can we, for they have the presence of the Christ in them as much as we do, and as they let that forth, so too should we. And in the end run, Paul will tell us, not in this letter to the church at Corinth, but another letter to the church of Corinth, ultimately what we are called to do. And he will simply say, it's all about love. It is all about letting the love that is God's presence, the love that is the Christ that dwells within you, that is within you from all time, and letting that come forth in your countenance and in your actions. For he says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. For love never fails. For love never fails. Moses took off all the accoutrements and left his face shining when he was speaking for God. Paul says, take it all away. There is nothing that we can do other than to let the grace of God, the presence of the Christ, shine forth in us. That is what we are called to do. Much as I love my stoles, much as I love my cross, much as I love my t-shirts, they are nothing if I have not love. They are nothing if I have not love. And that is what we are called to. And so we find ourselves with such a message of wonder and love here at this table. And one of the things that I love about the table is it is stripped down to its barest elements. This is not a lavish feast that has been put out for the disciples on that last night. It is a meal as simple as it could be, wine and bread. And yet within those elements, within the wine and the bread, is told the whole life story of what we are called to. We are called to be present. We are called to be willing to be broken. And we are called to understand that it is in our brokenness that we show love. It is in our brokenness that indeed we get remade, renewed, recreated. And so we come to the table. We come to the table willing to take the simplest of elements, the simplest of truth, that in the end run, it is about God's love, it is about God's grace, it is about living that, embodying that, and we take the simplest of truths and we share them with one another, as Jesus called his disciples to do around the table and continues to call his disciples to do each and every day. So we come here. The bread is gluten-free, just for those who wish to know. And we know that on the night in which he was betrayed, he took that loaf of bread and he broke it and he blessed it and said, this is my body that has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took a cup and he poured the wine into it and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant which has been shed for you. This too we do in remembrance. This too we do to live out that new covenant, that covenant of love for one another. So the table is set. I invite you all to come forward and share in the simplest of gifts, in the simplest of truths. For it is all about love. Amen.